I want to talk to us for a little while this morning on about peace, peace in the storm, peace. I don't know about you, but unless you're a liar, a complete liar, you'll say that there's been some tumultuous times in my life. Each one of us can say, yeah, there's times where it's just been an upheaval. Everywhere you turn, it seems like it's a whirlwind of stuff, and we need peace, right? I know I need peace, and I'm quite certain that everybody that's ever lived, maybe not Weston James yet. He needs the bottom changed and the top fed. I mean, that's pretty much his worry, right? Amen. And so, amen. But I want to talk to us about peace. I got to doing a little research about, because I talked to a lot of people. Let me just start. I talked to a lot of people, and a lot of people got a lot of problems. And a lot of people's got a lot of problems. But everybody's got some problems. And over the past few weeks, I really just kind of, just people with issues and problems. Some that they've created themselves, some they didn't create, some that they don't know how they got in this spot, they're just here. But nonetheless, it's a problem for them, right? And so I got to looking up some statistics, and from 2019 to 2023, is that my mic doing? What is it? I know it's... About now. What about now? Amen. Hallelujah. I guess I want to stand right here. No. So from 2019 to 2023, the percentage of adults who had received some treatment, and when I say treatment, I'm talking about treatment by some kind of a drug to help people, okay? Let me say this, if you're on some mental health drugs, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who don't need to be on stuff that's on stuff. That's right. There are a lot of people that's on stuff, don't need to be on stuff. They own stuff because they don't want to do something to be different. Right. They don't want to change, they just want to be changed. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. And so, from 2019 to 2023, there were 19.2% of people in America, and I'm just talking about American statistics for a minute. 19.2% of Americans were on some kind of drug to give them peace because of depression, anxiety, something of that nature. They were hyper, whatever it was. 19%. Now, that number's about 65 million people in America of the 350. That's a lot of folks. That means that one in five. So if there's 50 people in the room, you get to doing the math real quick. You can look around and almost touch somebody that's on something. Amen? Now, I'm just giving you some statistics. I didn't come up with this. This didn't come out of the Bible. But there's some facts in it, I guess. It says, but in the last 12 months from 2022 to 2023, now remember this study's 2 years old. In that 12-month period, it moved from 19.2% to 23.9%, almost 25%. In a year period, it jumped that much. It jumped 6%. People are on stuff because they're in storms of life. They're looking for an answer to the problem that they're currently experiencing. And they're looking in the bottle, they're looking in the bottle of a bottom of an alcoholic drink or a sleep pill or an antidepressant or something of that nature. They're looking for an answer to their problems. So how come so many people? Here's why so many, and this is just, I believe, a very
good observation. The church has begun to shrink. Therefore, people have begun to look for other sources to calm their nerves. Because this study goes on to say that the people that are 65 and older, it's rare that they're on anything for those type of suppression of antidepressants or things like that. So in that time, they were raised in church, a lot of that age group. And now we've gone through a couple of generations of people who are not in church. And they're searching for the thing that they're missing from the church. Come on, somebody. I'm going to preach in a minute. I ain't got the scripture yet. It says, the number of Americans taking mental health prescriptions, and I'm narrowing this down again to an anti-depression medicine, if you're anxious, those type areas. Okay, that's what I'm talking about today. It says that there's 65 million, one in five people. It says there's a growing number of children and adolescents are being prescribed multiple psychiatric drugs to take simultaneously, according to a new study. This highlights the need for increased awareness and support for those struggling with mental health. I have a little problem right there with the study. It should bring awareness to the church that we're insufficient in our job duties, that the church is failing in some area because people are continuing, even in our kids, to look for other sources for peace and calmness in their life, and they look to a bottle, and moms and dads are more than happy and welcome to sign their children up. Come on, somebody. There's more kids, I promise you, if you went to any school, there's more kids on Ritalin or some type of deal because they got ADHD, they've got some kind of problem, and I'm not listening those things. If they're real, most of the time they're not real. It's called the lack of discipline from the parents. Amen. I had ADDH once. My dad slapped me, and I got right back to where I needed to be. Wasn't any problem. He got my attention right back. He's had it ever since. It don't take but a second. Now, again, I'm not trying to, please don't be mad at me and leave and say, well, the preacher's talking about my kid. I'm if your kid needs it, amen, they need Jesus too. Amen. I think we got too many kids on too many drugs. Amen. And we turn out a society of people that's on drugs because Big Pharma runs our country. Yeah. And they're okay with this 25%. They would like to have it to be 100% because the more people buy, the more they make, the more money they have. Amen. I'm not reaching for something to preach on. I'm just telling you truth. In Mark chapter 4, now the story I'm going to read is found in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does not record this particular story in the Gospels, but it is in the other four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Mark chapter 4, I chose this one because this is one I chose. You're going to go read the others. It's okay, all right? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Now, let me give you a little backdrop. Jesus is right off in the middle of ministry. And by the way, I know a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors, a lot of laity, a lot of Sunday school teachers and all this. I know a lot of those people that are on these same type drugs so they can be calm in the middle of a storm. Okay, so this is not church-going folks all alone. It's all people. And so Jesus is right in the middle of ministry. He's healed the centurion's son right before this. He's fed a few thousand folks. He's had a great revival crusade, been in a big prayer meeting, and he comes down and says, boys, I'm tired. Let's go to the other side of the lake and leave these people alone. I need a break. He'd need a pill. He needed a break. Sometimes you need a break from routine of life. Even Jesus was right in the middle of ministry. He said, I need a break, so I'm going to go over here and I'm going to refresh. Amen. Did Jesus get tired? Not the one that you're serving now, but here in this picture, he was fully God and he was fully man. Okay? He says, on that same day, on that same day that I just described all these things he was doing, he was busy. He says, and when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And verse 36, and now when they had left the multitude, a bunch of folks wanting and knowing Jesus had what they needed. If you read the prior stories, people were coming to him because they knew he had what they were after. Why is the church not full? Because there's a lot of people out there knowing they're looking for something. They don't know what they're looking for. Maybe the church ought to show them what they're looking for. Maybe the church ought to be exploding rather than the pharma companies, because we're showing them that God is the answer. God is peace when you're in the middle of your storm. Just a thought. And so now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and he was, boat as he was, and he was, I'm sorry, and the other little boats were also with him. So he had his disciples and some of his entourage, if you will, some of the people make things happen. They was with him, and they were all going out there on this, and it says in verse 37, and a great windstorm came up. And the waves beat into the boat. In other words, they came over the sides into the boat. May I tell you that that's a big deal? Because they didn't have bilge pumps back then. You and a bucket or a gourd hollowed out was the bilge pump. And you can only dip so much water, okay, with a gourd. And it says, and the waves began to come into the boat, or beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. Now, I don't know about you. I don't mind swimming. I have a problem swimming if I got to swim to stay alive in this long way to the bank. Okay? And by the way, the government hadn't come along just yet with life jacket rule. They didn't have a bunch of these little orange ones that you're going to drown anyway in the boat. They didn't have those things. And so they're in trouble. It says it's filling. You know, they're probably dipping. And they're saying, we're not making any headway here. This thing is, it was in my ankles. Now it's half knee deep. And we're struggling. We're in trouble. America and around our people around, they're in trouble. They've been dipping and they're struggling and they're saying, we're not making any headway. What is next? What is the next strongest drug I can get a hold of to help me cope with my problems? Because Tylenol 3 ain't good enough anymore. What the doctor prescribed is not doing anymore. I need something more. That's how sin works in our lives. And that's how we get ourselves in storms, because one thing feeds us this much, and then we got to feed that thing again, and we got to feed it again and again. We're in a storm. People are in storms in their life, and it is up to the church to show them that God is a God of peace. That there's a better way than the way you're living, the way we're doing life. He says, and it was already filling, but he, Jesus, was in the stern, in the bottom of the ship, if you will, asleep on a pillow. Let me read this and I'm going to say something. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? I want you to understand something about the Bible. The storm did not wake up Jesus. Amen. He was asleep. He's okay. He's got it. He's just waiting for them or you to give your problem to him. See, the storm didn't disturb him. He was at perfect peace. He's doing what he does best, being peaceful. And if you and I are in Christ, we ought to be at doing our best and be peaceful in him. He says, don't you care? If you're honest, you've probably asked that God that same question in the middle of your stuff. Don't you care that I'm perishing? Don't you see that I'm doing all I can? I've got my gourd out and I am dumping water as fast, and this water is coming. Can't you do something with the storm? Or do I need to look for another source? And we're looking for another source according to statistics. I can't deal with the storm. And God doesn't look like you're going to, so I need some help, so I'll take a pill. I'm anxious about this. I'm depressed about this. How can you be anxious and depressed at the same time? I don't know, but people are. They got them in their cabinets. This is my anxiety medicine. This is my depression medicine. Well, pick one in the middle and get off two of them. That's too simple, isn't it? Now, we have a medical doctor over here, and he says, it just doesn't work that way. I get that. But I'm a simple person. If you get rid of two and you're just taking one, you've at least went somewhere. You're better. But why don't you get on Jesus? Why don't you take the Jesus pill? Why don't you say, get a good dose of the Holy Ghost? And I promise you, when you get right and get in tune with God, things that you thought were problems are not problems. They begin to go away because I'm not even worried about that anymore because it's not in the kingdom principles. It's not what Jesus has in mind for you. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10 that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he doesn't care how he does it. He doesn't care how he destroys your life. He doesn't care how he destroys your mind. He doesn't care how he destroys your ministry, just as long as it gets destroyed, just as long as you're ineffective. You understand that, right? He doesn't care how the church, he doesn't care that we come to church. He does care that if we are effective out there. Amen. That's why he brought these kind of things into the church. That's why he brought all of these other sources to look for in the church. If someone come to you, probably, maybe, I hope not after this message, but to come to you at your work site or you met them on the street and they said, man, I'm really depressed, you might would pull out a, I don't do pills, so I start to be pulling. You might pull out a bottle and say, you know what, the doctor prescribed these to me, and this is really good. I mean, boy, they have helped me. I was so depressed, and now he put me on one of these a day, and I take two, and it's really even good. I mean, it's great. Man, you ought to try some of this. But the church, the Christian, ought to say, you know what, I was there, but I got a hold of Jesus. And I want to pray with you. I'm anointed to pray for you. The Bible has anointed me to pray, and I want to pray with you. I want to help you with your depression. I want to help you with your anxiety. Let's try this first. Preacher, now you're getting out there. That's weird. Is it? Jesus just came from ministry, if you read the scriptures. That's what he's doing. He's praying for the sick. Those that are mad with disease and demon possessed, that's what he's doing. Why? Because they didn't have pills back then. He was the only answer to the problem. Praise God. Amen. And still is. I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down this morning, so let me move on. Verse 39, then he arose, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Yeah, preacher, but, I'm not Jesus. True, agreed, you're not. But the same power that Jesus had and displayed here is available to you if you so choose to use it. And there was a great calm. You can't tell me that a pill can calm you more than Jesus. If you do, I can tell you this, you haven't really met the Jesus that I know. You haven't really got in tune with the Jesus like you say you are. Because the Jesus I know, the one that died on the cross, covered everything, including your anxiety, your depression, your anxiousness, and everything in between. He covered it when he went to the cross. But he said to them, this is after the sea had just calmed right down. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? Well, you were asleep. We were pitching water and it was getting deeper. I got a right to be fearful. They're justifying. Come on. We justify why we our rights, why I'm doing this. There's not a person in this room don't do something, can't justify it. If you want to do it bad enough, you come up with a justification record. This is why. It gets me. It just kills me. Sometimes they'll come to me and they'll say, you know, I need a new vehicle and this is, and I was getting, because I don't want my wife to drive so far in an older vehicle. How old is the vehicle? Oh, it's just 2 years old, but I tell you, it's got a lot of miles on it. How many miles? It got 20,000 miles on it. There's no hope. If you want one, go buy one. If you're stuck on it, because I can't talk you out of it at that point. Same thing happens. This is why I've got to do what I got to do, because this is what's happening in my family, in my relationship, and I've got to be on this. Do you? My child must be on this. Does he? Does she? Really? Well, I can't go to the church and I can't get involved because of this, this, and this. Well, get ready for the pills. Get ready for the bottle. Because that's where you're going to end up. Because one of these days you're going to need the peace that Jesus has. Amen. You say, well, I may or may not. Well, I can assure you, there's going to come a time where every knee's going to bow. And every tongue will confess. And if you haven't confessed Jesus, you're going to need peace. But you're not going to get it then. Peace will forever be out of your reach when eternity starts for you. Hallelujah. I bet you wish you had Brother Tim back, don't you? Because he's preaching different. He's an evangelist. I'm a pastor. Verse 40, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Well, I didn't know you could do that, Jesus. I didn't know you was going to come out here and say, hey, be still, wind. I didn't know you were going to do that. And if I'd have known you was going to do that, I'd just been hanging out down here, and I'd have been waist deep in water because I knew you was going to do it. You know what the Bible doesn't say? It doesn't say the water dried up in the boat. He said the winds quit putting water in the boat, but he never said the water in the boat dried up. You know what that tells me? There still had to be some work done. After Jesus showed up, they still had to do some things to get their life right, to continue on the path. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're amening me this morning. I know you're in some of that 1 in 5. Come on, amen. It says, and they feared exceedingly, and they said one to another. They wasn't afraid about the storm anymore, by the way. It was gone. He says, they were afraid. You know what they were afraid of? It says, they were feared. They were like, whoa. Something just happened. It says, they were feared. They were feared exceedingly about Jesus. And they said to one another, who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey. It spooked them right out of their robes, right out of their sandals, them Jerusalem cruisers. Just spooked them right out, and they said, what in the, what happened? What just happened? You ever been around to something happen? You say, what just happened right there? That's the way these guys were. What just happened? These guys were afraid. Did you read, was you paying attention when I said, and he got in the boat with the disciples, but there was some small boats also? Those little boats were experiencing the same storm that the big boat was, but the little folks, they were really excited when the wind stopped. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you that to say this. There's a boat here that's got trouble, and your boat may be, and it's got trouble, and somebody else over here's got trouble, and somebody over there's got trouble. You don't have trouble all by yourself. You're not the only one that this has ever happened to. I have people tell me, I'm the only one in the world. You're not. I promise. You're like a gajillion down the list behind the other gajillion. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let me talk to you about what Jesus has done. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, we all like this one because we all want to be saved. Right? Who doesn't want to be saved in the house? Sometimes you can trick people and they're like, yeah. Wrong answer. Keep them down. Isaiah 53, 5. It's commonly known as Jesus and the wounds and I'm forgiven. But watch this. Isaiah 53, 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And here's what we skip over so many times. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Same as the for the transgressions and the iniquities was put upon him. Adam sinned and brought sin in the world by one man. Sin was put upon Christ, and now that sin can be forgiven you if you're a sinner. You can go to him and ask for forgiveness, and so the sins can be taken away from you. Right? Same principle with peace. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. We like the last part, we like the first part, but we can skip over the peace thing. I got a pill for that, Jesus. I don't need that. You shouldn't have done that for me. Watch. Let me give you some what chastisement really means, what this really means. I've done this little word study, and I studied out this particular phrase, this, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Chastisement here means to bind or correct, to punish, to reform, to teach. But in the Aramaic language, a more closely translated language, a word, verbiage, it says literally to bind with a blow. Now let me show you this. Before Jesus went to the cross and died, he was tied to a whipping post and beaten with a whip, a cat of nine tails, which had glass and sharp metal on the end, and they would give him blows. And it says that this chastisement, the peace, he knew we were going to need peace. So not only did he take the sin from off of us by going to the cross when you accept him, he also took the world's troubles from you and put peace on you. In this whole process of salvation, there is this thing called peace. That God gives you peace when you walk in him. It was done by blows. Blows, boom. It was almost like it was pounded in with the cat of nine tails, peace over depression. Peace over anxiety. Peace over life's trials. It was such a way that God said, out of these four things, you're going to need peace, and I'm going to take them so that you can have them. No, this is good. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. You're there, but I'm backing up. There's some criteria to you stepping in to Christ taking the peace upon him. The same way that there's some criteria to you to receive salvation. You have to do something. Salvation's available, but you have to come and receive it. You have to repent. Repent means to turn from your ways. You need to ask for forgiveness. Come on, somebody. This is how this thing's done. There's a process that you have to do to receive what's already been done. Amen. Agreed? Amen. Okay, we got four people that agree that that's the way you get saved. Well, let me just tell you, that's the way you get saved. You ain't chosen. It ain't just you. You're going to get picked out. You already chose. God chose you for the foundation of the earth to be saved. And he provided a way for you to be saved, but you got to go and accept that salvation, repent, and ask for forgiveness. If you're living in turmoil and your life's upside down, guess what? You have to come to Christ and say, Lord, I need the peace that you died for. Amen. How do we do that? Here it is. Number one. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter 5:6. Stop. First thing we've got to do is in the humility and the humbleness part is admit that you got a problem. Amen. Woo. Becoming humble is very, very difficult. God can humble you. Right now and in a hurry, as my daddy said. But he probably won't because he breaks that free will. Being humble means that you, on your own, come to Christ. Therefore, what? What does it say? Therefore, humble yourselves. You could say it like this. Therefore, you humble yourself. You do it. You do that. I've already got the part done. The piece is here. In this great basket, and it's here, it's waiting on you. But you got to humble yourself and say, Lord, I need your peace. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, not under the mighty hand of pharmaceuticals. Praise the Lord. I knew this was going to be a good one, and I knew you'd shout me out of the doors. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What does that look like? Well, it may look a little different for you than it does me. There may be some things you're dealing with that doesn't even cross my mind. Come on, somebody. Oh, I deal with stuff. Amen. Come on. Everybody's got their stuff. But humility looks a little different. But what it does look like, it looks like a bended heart, a bowed heart at the foot of Jesus. Not what I think it looks like. Humility is what Jesus thinks it looks like. I'm about done. Y'all find some music. I think my wife's in a class somewhere. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Watch this. Verse 7. Casting all of your care upon him. Why? Why? Why should we do that? Read it. He cares for you. Yeah, there it is. He likes you a lot. He likes you so much that he took the blows so that you could have peace. He likes you like a whole lot. He's moved from the realm of do you like me to I love you. You remember the notes, right, as a kid? I know they don't do that now. I don't know what they do now. I guess they text. We used to write notes and send it to our little sweetheart. Do you like me? Yeah. Just so that they understood what we were trying to get. We would even give them a multiple choice, yes or no. Circle one. George Strait came in with a song a few years ago about that. Circle yes or no. If you got to tell somebody and give them multiple choice, they probably ain't interested in you, okay? They don't even know. They ain't figured out yet. Don't give them multiple choice. They got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. But after a while, that word light went to love. Do you love me? Sometimes. Jesus loves you all the time. Let me tell you this. When you're in the boat in the storm of your life and you're dipping water, Jesus loves you. When you're in that storm that you created, Jesus still loves you. When you're in that storm that you didn't create, it was by other means or whatever, he still loves you. He loves you when you weren't interested in him. He's interested in you. Amen. That's what the Bible says in Romans 5 and 8. While you were yet a sinner, while Marty was a sinner, he liked me. He loved me. You know what he says? He loved me so much that he pushed his love toward me. You ever pushed your love on somebody and they didn't push it back? Or maybe they pushed it back and said no. Rejection. Right? You know, Christ has never given up on you. You do that to me once and I'm done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have a good life. Boom. Right? All of us in our ego says that. You don't like me, I don't like you. You don't love me, I don't love you. You ain't gonna do that for me, I ain't doing that for you. Christ is totally different. That's why you gotta get your head wrapped around that there's a peace that comes from God that you can't comprehend yet. There's a peace from God, even if you're a Christian, that we go through things, there's a peace of God that you still haven't got your mind wrapped around. But if you'll humble yourself and cast your cares upon him, you know what cast means? To push, to exert effort, to throw out. Like when they would cast a net, it took effort. Are you hearing me? It took effort for the disciples. He said, cast your nets over here. It took effort. It was a team thing. I got to get my net out. I can't just drop it over the boat. I got to cast the net out. It's going to be some effort on your part. Not telling you that it's just going to come in, he's going to zap you with a peace rod. You got to do some things. Cast your cares. You humble yourself and say, Lord, here it is. Here it is, Lord. I'm tired of this. Verse 8. Be sober. Everybody loves everybody when you're doing dope. I love you. You don't even know my name. I know I should be better preacher, but I know I just love you. Can you love? Call me in 4 hours and tell me the same thing when you're sober. I'm making light a little bit here. What he's really saying is, be sober. Be conscious of what you're doing. Because it cost me a lot. It cost me 39 stripes before I went to Calvary. It cost me my life. It cost me a lot so that you can have peace and you can walk in it. Be conscious about what you're doing and what you're going to commit to, because I've already done my part, but you're going to have some work to do too. Be conscious about this. Be sober about this thing. Why? And be vigilant. Intentional, with a purpose, with passion. I've got a conscious mind and I'm passionately going after the peace of God in my life. I'm tired of living in chaos. I'm tired of living in the whirlwind. I'm tired of dipping this water that keeps coming. Amen. I'm tired of it. And so we're gonna be vigilant with a purpose. And here's what he says. Here's why you got to be sober and be vigilant and you got to cast your cares. And here's why. He says, because the adversary, the devil. If you're wondering who your adversary is, he just named him. Called him out right on the carpet. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a lying roar, like a roaring lion. He is not a lion. There's only one lion of the tribe of Judah, and I'm telling you, he's king of the jungle. Amen. He is the king. You can't take him out. Okay. You may think you take him out of school. You can't take him out. You can take him out of New York City, but you ain't taking him out. He's still alive and well. He's still on the throne, okay? Amen. Come on, somebody. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking, what is he trying to do to you? He's seeking whom he may. Good Lord, this is too simple. I'm in trouble. I'm in a whirlwind. Well, where's the devil at? I'm telling you, he's in the middle of it somewhere. Figure out where that rascal is. Amen. You want to fight an enemy? I've never been in the upper echelons of military. They say that they study other countries when they go to war. What do they have in form of weaponry? How can they maneuver? What's their capabilities? Where are they positioned right now? That's why America's always trying to position things around the world. We have some bases just in case things get crazy. Come on. And so they learn their enemy and they know where the enemy is. Why? Because the enemy of the world, secularly I'm speaking, is trying to kill America. Amen. Thank God for veterans while we got them. Amen. The enemy, if you were wondering, is trying to kill you. He's seeking you out. What is your thing? How can he get you today? If I can get you messed up on some kind of drug other than Jesus, and get you thinking crazy stuff, and let me just ease that into your life just a little bit. I just need to ease it in there a little bit, and I'm gonna let you just play with it and get used to it. You know, people, man, they forget so easy. New York done forgot. I have people pull up to my shop down there. I got two big signs up there that says, we do diesels and we do TPMS. That's your tire sensors. They'll come and say, hey, do you do diesels? Two-foot by eight-foot sign out front says we do. Let me go check. You know what we have to do? We change our signs around sometimes. Same sign, 2.5 years. They'll post, I didn't know you did that. Watch, I'm making a point. You'll get used to seeing the same old thing over and over and over and over and over and over in the same spot, and you don't even know it's there. How many of you went down the road and said, I've never seen that before? Amen. And been back down that road 50 times or for 50 years? I've never seen that. Because you get right here. Yep. The enemy does the same thing. He'll ease something up to you and say, it's just Tylenol 3, 4 of them before you go to bed so you can sleep better. It's just that stuff that knocks you out so you don't think about stuff. You can get a good night's rest. Come on, somebody. He's just getting you used to the idea that it's okay to take a pill. That's what he's doing. That's the way this thing works. If he shoved up there and said, Billy, I want you to take all these pills and you'll be an alcoholic, you'll say, sign me up. Yes, yes, that's what I want. You're going to lose everything and it's going to go crazy. That's what I want two of those. Sign me up for two lifetimes. That's what I was after. Thank God you showed up, devil. No, you wouldn't do that. You would run from that, right? Seven amens. The rest of you didn't hear what I said. You would run from that. If he told you his intentions in your life, you would run. You'd run to the altars and you'd be humble before the Lord and you'd cast everything at him. But he gets you used to it. And they say, you know, that's not strong enough. And they say, you know, nighttime NyQuil is not enough. Then you want nighttime NyQuil during the day. Yeah, but that don't make you sleepy, does it?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Okay. You see where I'm going with this? The devil's got to get you used to being okay where you're at before you'll go another step. Here's the problem. The disciples thought that they were cool. They were with Jesus. Man, we've been doing ministry. Glory to God. Everything is good. Woo! Glory to God. We're walking on the water. We ain't got to get in the boat. We're just going to walk in front of him. We've been doing, look, we fed all these people. Man, we saw some healings today. The centurion's servant, he got healed. Man, all these people, that blinded, that guy with the leprosy came in, bam, he's gone. Man, this is awesome. Woo, feel anointed. Glory to God. Woo, we going, man. Woo, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Woo, I'm on the worship team. Glory to God. I'm teaching kids. Woo, I'm serving. I've been in the church for a long time. Woo, man, ain't nothing can stop me. Then you wake up and you say, good gosh, where'd this thing come from? What happened to my marriage? My God, what happened to me praying? What happened to me seeking the Lord? My Lord, what in the world? I'm in a mess. I can't let nobody know. I got to get me, give me something. This one might help you, though. This is olive oil. You get the idea of what I'm trying to put down? Peace. We all need it. You may not need it right this second, but you'll need it in a little while. And the peace that I'm talking about only comes from Christ. He's the only source. He's the only place you can get this true peace. He's the only place you can get true peace. You believe that? I believe with all of my heart. I believe it with all my heart. Peace. Peace. We used to sing a song. It says, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed.